From WGCU News, this is Gulf Coast Live. The 28th Annual Everglades Coalition Conference kicks off this week in Coral Gables. The event brings together stakeholders on the local, state, and national level working together on efforts to preserve and restore Florida's River of Grass. Ahead, we'll explore some recent environmental restoration successes, as well as challenges and opportunities that lie ahead for Everglades advocates. Plus, emerging nanotechnology is poised to bring about revolutionary changes to our lives, but when it comes to research and development on potentially harmful nanoparticles, little regulation exists. That issue is at the crux of the latest novel from best-selling author, physician, and Naples resident Robin Cook. We'll talk with Cook about his latest medical thriller, Nano. First, this news.
Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live. I'm Amy Tardiff. Naples author and medical doctor Robin Cook is out with his latest medical thriller. Nano is a warning about nanotechnology and what can happen as companies compete to be first with the medical discoveries coming from this science. Robin Cook is a Harvard-trained eye doctor. His first medical thriller, Coma, came out in 1977 and was later turned into a hit movie. He's written more than 30 other books since then, gaining a reputation for warning the world about dangers that could come from mismanagement and social issues in the medical field. In Nano, it stems from the fact that there have been some questions as to the safety of nanotechnology materials in their relation to our health and the environment, while there's been little to no risk analysis. In fact, there's a Senate bill called the Nanotechnology Regulatory Science Act of 2011 stuck in committee. Cook is also one of eight famous authors with local ties, participating in an event called The Writer's Domain at Norris Home Furnishings in Naples, January 18th and 19th, to benefit First Book Collier County. Details for that event are at wgcu.org/Gulf Coast Live. Robin Cook joins us by phone. Thanks so much for being with us today, Robin.
It's my pleasure.
And you can ask a question about nanotechnology or Cook's other books by calling 1-877-428-8255. That's 1-877-GCU-TALK. Send email to gulfcoastlive@wgcu.org or comment on Facebook at WGCU Public Media. So, Robin, how did you come up with the idea for a book about nanotechnology?
Well, I just, I've been somewhat of a futurist in a way about medicine, and it's very apparent to me that nanotechnology is going to come into medicine as the metaphor I've made as a tidal wave. And there's some great promise. I mean, what nanotechnology can do is really amazing, especially when you combine it with like life science, synthetic biology, and informational technology, and even genetics. It's truly going to revolutionize the way medicine is practiced. But at the same time, there are definitely some risks. And I guess, as my book Coma, it will awaken people's to there are certain problems in medicine that we've overlooked. And this is, I think, is one of them. And that's why I thought it was a good subject matter for what I call a cookbook.
Being an ophthalmologist, do you ever come into contact with nanotechnology?
Well, yes. Particularly, for instance, I think we've all enjoyed the fact that eyeglasses now are very different, or even contact lenses and things like that. Nanotechnology plays a large role in coatings today, already on the market, and paints and coatings and stuff and packaging. And it's amazing what it's already in. And it's, of course, it's also amazing that so little study has been done on what is going to be ultimately the effect of this in terms of safety for individuals and the environment, as you mentioned.
Where'd you do your research for Nano?
Well, a combination. One of the benefits that I have of doing what I do in that a number of people know that what I'm doing, so I have the opportunity to call up lots of different people, and they are always so accommodating, particularly other people in the medical arena. Some people thought that after I wrote Coma, wondered, are other doctors kind of mad at you for exposing all this stuff? And quite the contrary. I wrote one book about a cardiac surgeon, and I had done a surgical residency, and I had done some cardiac surgery then, but I figured, well, I better go back and kind of see what's going on right now. And I called up a friend who was head of cardiac surgery at a big academic center, and I said, you know, I really would like to talk to you about what's going on today. And he said, well, why don't you come on down and scrub in?
Oh, wow.
So a couple of days later, I'm in the operating room holding a retractor and helping tie a few ties and experiencing the state of the art in terms of cardiac surgery. So I have this opportunity, which I have to say that the writing is a lot more work than people think. They have this kind of romantic idea that us writers just sort of sit and come up with these ideas and just write, and we can write any place. And
you have a lot of homework to do.
A lot of homework. But, you know, that's the part that I enjoy. The research part is by far, for me, the most fun part of a whole project.
Where are the companies working on this, and are there any in Florida?
Well, I would be shocked that there aren't. I'm sure there are. I know for a fact that there are certain organizations in Florida that are helping in terms of, well, are trying to take advantage of nanotechnology from an investment point of view, and I know that there are a number of these people in Florida. They're pretty much sprinkled all over. This is a kind of technology that's really available to just about anyone. And since it's so successful so quickly, and I'm talking about success that boggles the mind, in fact, by just 2 years from now, in 2015, it's projected that nanotechnology is going to contribute $2.4 trillion to the world economy. That I don't think there's ever been anything else that has had that kind of impact that quickly, because it's only been around for like 20 years.
In the book, the Chinese play a large role. Are they that much ahead of the U.S. when it comes to patents in nanotechnology?
No, but they'd like to be. And they realize that nanotechnology is a technology of the future, and essentially the future is now. It also has a dramatic application for armed forces technology and weapons, et cetera. So that's another indication. The Chinese they want to dominate the world economy, and they see this as one of the ways of doing it. They haven't. The U.S. has been, our government has been the biggest contributor in terms of encouraging this industry. Not that they need that much encouragement, but the U.S. government has already essentially handed over to the industry about $18 billion to help R&D, et cetera. Europe comes close behind that, and behind that is the Chinese.
Do you know how many patents already exist?
No, I don't. I don't know how many, and because whether they exist or not, I'm sure there's number of patents pending, and I'm sure they're being applied for on a daily basis. And why that's significant is because the patents are so important and are going to result in such enormous profits that everything that's being done in nanotechnology is being done essentially behind closed doors. In other words, most science is done in an open format, so scientists can communicate with each other and put it in their journals, and then the next scientist add to it, et cetera. Nanotechnology is just the opposite. Because of this enormous profit motive so quickly and so successfully, that all this kind of research is being done behind closed doors. And that's why in my novel, Nano, there is a company that is doing exactly that. It's doing this. It doesn't want anybody to know what it's doing. It doesn't want any supervision. its major problem is finding appropriate funding, and that's why they're looking towards the Chinese.
Our guest today is Naples author of medical thrillers Robin Cook on his latest book, Nano. He's appearing for book signings in town on January 18th and 19th. Our phone number is 1-877-GCU-TALK or comment on Facebook at WGCU Public Media. So is it true, as stated in the book, that there is no oversight of the research, no one checking on what might be the health risks or violations of ethical standards like premature human experiments, like what happens in the book?
Well, of that $18 billion that I mentioned that the United States government has given to nanotechnology through its nanotechnology initiative, only a small amount has been designated towards safety issues, whether it's safety in terms of health issues or safety in terms of environment. The Woodrow Wilson Institute in Washington, Woodrow Wilson Center, has been one of the places that has been trying to bring this to light. And they have a couple of people that have been spearheading this and trying to get more funding to go towards safety and health issues. And the reason it's so important is that the reason that nanotechnology works is because these nanotechnology products are extremely reactive and extremely durable. And those are the two qualities that beg the question of health and safety issues.
Let's go through some of the medical uses for nanotechnology in the story of Nano, because I want to know which of these are based upon reality. Aiding human endurance with artificial red blood cells.
Well, there's been some people, some of the stuff that you can get on the Internet, which is really quite amazing, is that if you go on the Internet and you just search nanotechnology and search like something like aids to respiration or something like that, it's amazing what will come up. There is one individual who very much is a futurist with advanced degrees, et cetera, in science and engineering, who has actually, you can find it on the Internet, you can actually find the plans to make one of these little things called a respirocyte, which is like an artificial red blood cell. And it's 1,000 times, it will be 1,000 times more efficient than a real, a natural red blood cell. And some of the implications are really quite extraordinary. There's also other ones that are called, well, this is a type of nanorobot. In other words, a little robot that harkens back to that movie Fantastic Voyage.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, in that, what they did is they had something life-size and they shrunk it, including the operators on the inside, which, you know, purely science fiction. But nanorobots are not purely science fiction, a little bit because we don't have the capability of manufacturing these with the complexity as they're designed. But they are making... Some companies are making nanorobots today. It's just that molecular manufacturing has to be really solved. But they're working on that. And the way they're going to do that is by mimicking the way live cells actually manufacture proteins and structures. By mimicking that, biomimetics, they're going to be able to make these. And when they do, they are going to have unbelievable effect on medicine.
What about as a targeted cancer cure?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. There are a number of people who feel that this nanorobots will be the cure for cancer, will be the cure for heart disease, for instance. What is it that causes heart disease? It's the plaque.
Clogged arteries.
Yeah. Well, they can envision making these little nanorobots that specifically target these plaques and eat them and spit out harmless products. And also, we all know that we're kind of reaching sort of the end of the antibiotic era in the sense that the bacteria seem to be developing resistance as fast as we make new antibiotics, and we're making new antibiotics at a reduced rate today. A lot of people feel that it's nanotechnology that's going to come and fill this void and be probably a lot better at curing, for instance, sepsis, where you have bacteria in the bloodstream, than antibiotics. Because antibiotics, the way it works, is that it restricts or limits bacterial growth, whereas nanorobots, like in the book, are actually programmed to grab the offending bacteria and essentially digest it. And so it's imagined that these types, if they're put into the bloodstream, would cure sepsis within an hour rather than a number of days, which is what takes antibiotics to work today.
And one of the themes in the book, Alzheimer's prevention and cure, that's reality too?
Yes. Yep. I mean, when you think about what is Alzheimer's, it's a kind of material that forms in the brain and starts to clog everything up. Well, let's make a little nanorobot that loves that stuff and goes after it and gets rid of it before it gets deposited and clogs up the brain function.
Any idea how far we are away from this being actual reality and not having tremendous risk involved?
Well, I see it as in the very near future. In other words, I see the invasion of nanotechnology in medicine is starting to happen today, and it's just going to go up geometrically. I think within like 3 or 4 years, there's going to be a lot of input from nanotechnology in medicine. What I'm talking about in terms of these little nanorobots, probably 5 to 10 years. As long as I said, the molecular manufacturing problems are surmounted. And in the novel, this company, Nano, that's why they have the upper hand, because they've been able to perfect this molecular manufacturing. And that's the capability that the Chinese want, and that's the reason that they're willing to invest heavily in this company.
There have been numerous movies, TV movies, and miniseries made about your books. Any plans for one on Nano?
Well, I'd love to. It's I think all of my books are eminently filmable. Especially, I think they're interesting because they're fun and exciting, just like any thriller kind of story. Yet, all of them have ideas and information that I think are important for people to know. To protect themselves in dealing with the medical profession, dealing with the government, etc. So you get both. You have fun, and it's socially responsible. It's not just purely car chases and car crashes and or serial killers. I mean, if I read another book about a serial killer, I've had enough. I mean, If there are as many serial killers as there are in movies and books, boy, we'd be in bad shape.
I think I read that your next book's about healthcare reform, and you always have a warning. What is the warning for that book?
Well, you know, of course, all along I think we've made a huge mistake in terms of our healthcare. The idea of relying on the private sector will do better than the government. I think this is a huge mistake. It's just like why don't we have private militias instead of a military? I think healthcare, defense, and education are the three major arenas that the government really should be in charge of and doing. We have essentially, both political parties have caved in to the very powerful health insurance lobby. And they're being empowered. And a couple of years from now, they're going to be the ones that are really in charge of American medicine. Not that they play an enormous role today, too. And the medical profession, the doctors, are losing clout on a very, very rapid rate. And so I think it's time for a cookbook about that.
And that's all the time we've got. Thank you so much, Robin.
My pleasure.
Robin Cook's Nano came out in December. He lives and works in Naples. Cook is one of 8 famous authors with local ties participating in an event called The Writer's Domain at Norris Home Furnishings in Naples, January 18th and 19th, to benefit First Book Collier County. Another book signing is at Barnes & Noble Waterside on the 19th. Details of both are at wgcu.org/Gulf Coast Live. You can continue commenting on our statewide blog at wgcu.org/Florida Talks or on Facebook at WGCU Public Media. This is WGCU Fort Myers 90.1 FM, WMKO Marco 91.7 FM. For Richard Chinqui and Luke Martin, I'm Amy Tardif. Have a great day.